Hi, everyone, and welcome to SPED Homeschool Conversations. Thank you for joining us again on this live broadcast, or if you're even joining us on this recorded session on our podcast or on YouTube, or maybe you're just watching us on Facebook after the event. We are happy you are here because we're starting a brand new topic for this month. We're now into November, and we're covering family dynamics as we lead up into the holidays. Family dynamics tend to be even more tricky when you have children with special needs and special needs going on in your family, and maybe your family doesn't understand it. So a lot of the topics we're going to be talking about in bridging this month are ways to equip you with some ways that you can talk to family members about disabilities and special needs so that they can have a better understanding. And so tonight we're starting that with a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, as well as my guests. We're talking about reconciling disabilities with the church and your family. And our guest is Laura Lee. And thank you so much for joining us tonight and for all your research you have done on this topic. I'm excited for you to share on this.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. So, as we get started, why don't you just let our audience know a little bit about you and just some of your background, and then we'll start diving into questions. And also, audience, know that if you're watching us live, you can join in on this conversation. We want you to be part of that. So definitely put your comments, questions in the feed while we're going, and we will incorporate that into our discussion. So, yeah. So tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I am a young adult fantasy fiction writer, which is
That's kind of cool. Ironic
because I'm also dyslexic. So that journey is a whole other thing. I'm also a mother of two sons. My oldest is on the autistic spectrum, and he's absolutely wonderful. And my youngest is deaf. And he absolutely loves people, which is amazing. And I did a series of I keep a blog to go with my writing. It's not really a disability blog per se, but being dyslexic, it does cover a lot of things about disability because that's really an important part of my journey. And so I've started doing monthly devos, and this topic, Christianity, the church and disability, really poured out in those devotionals. I've actually done this is kind of part of who I am, actually.
Yeah. And writing with a disability, I totally get that. That's my middle son's kind of like gift pairing with disability. It's very interesting because I find that he's extremely creative and to come out and, you know, just what I've seen of your work, it's very creative too. And so that has to be a struggle, but yet it has to feel so good when you're able to produce something despite that.
Yeah, well, it's a wrestling, and I think sometimes that wrestling is necessary in life to produce something good. I review books as well, and I find that some of the most unique books come from people who've had the most challenges. And it may not be disability, but the wrestling is such an essential part of kind of who we are as people, I think. And when you're telling a story, you're telling about our humanity, about who we are as people. And I think it actually helps my writing in some respects. It doesn't help my spelling or my grammar.
There's technology to figure out that.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's just the creative part that I can't do. So that's what's necessary.
Yeah.
That's great. So let's dive in, because I know you've got a lot of content, and I want to make sure that we cover a lot of this. But how do you see the church as a larger entity, not, you know, just certain denominations, but the church at large, ignoring the real underlying issue of disabilities? And what is that?
Yeah, I do think the church in large, and it's not really, I mean, I know that some people will say the American church, but it's actually a church in general. We tend to want things to look perfect. Even people who don't have disabilities will admit that there's a lot of pressure to try to put on a front of being flawless, not having troubles, not having problems. And disability is kind of tough for that because you can't really hide it. No. It's not like wearing a long coat to cover your tattoos or, you know, it's really hard to hide a disability. And so it's really it's out there for everybody to see and kind of to be reminded that they're not little gods themselves. They're not perfect. And it's really hard on kind of the rose colored glasses that we put on Sunday mornings.
Right. Yeah. That's the mentality I grew up with in the church, and it was very difficult myself struggling. I didn't share this with you, but my parents, when my son was diagnosed with autism, my mom said, "That's you." I struggled with wanting to commit suicide every day. And yet here I was supposed to be perfect. And so it was this back and forth going, why do I want to kill myself? Yet I'm supposed to be perfect. And yet I could never achieve that perfection. And that's what spiraled my depression on top of it. And so there's a fundamental flaw, really, in our theology, isn't there?
Yeah, because our struggles are actually part of our Christianity. Yeah. It's funny that we kind of gloss over that. Well, I mean, we'll talk about the love of God, the grace of God, but we don't necessarily talk about the tribulations of overcoming hardship. And there's so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about kind of us being refined in the fire or going through difficulties to be perfected. Struggle is actually part of the Christian walk. It's the essence of how we become like Christ is to take part of his suffering. And so when we try to gloss over that to be like, oh, everything's perfect, we're kind of minimizing our Christian walk in some ways. And I totally relate to the depression that you're talking about, because with both my sons, especially with my second, it's just like, how am I supposed to process this? How am I supposed to wrap my brain around why God would let a child go through this? I kind of somehow processed it different with my oldest. It was still a struggle. I think I kind of went numb for about like 4 years or something like that, because he was born premature and I was just coping with life.
Oh, definitely.
With my second son, it was like, okay, well, he's supposed to be the healthy one. And then he was deaf, I mean, from birth. And so it's just like, why did he let this happen again? And so there was a real wrestling, a struggle. But even that is scriptural, because we see Jacob wrestling with the angel. The wrestling is part of our walk. It is essential. I think it's not just something God tolerates. I think it's something that he wants us to do, to approach him and say, why did you do this? Just like Job. And that, well, even David in the Psalms, in that we grow closer to God. We're not being un-Christian.
Right. And we're not being unfaithful, and we're not hating God, but the lack of understanding, because our walk will never look like someone else's walk. And truly, that's what disabilities bring out into the open, even more so than, you know, we can try and stuff and hide it in our, you know, personal theology. But you can't when it comes to disabilities. And I know you talk about that in the blogs that you've written, and just the way God reveals disabilities in the Bible that we tend to look over. Can you give us some examples?
There's so many. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I printed out some of it so that I would actually remember. I mean, but there's so many. There's Jacob. You know, I talk about his wrestling, but God actually gives him a disability by injuring his hip. You have Paul talk about the thorn in his flesh that he prayed for God to take away and God wouldn't. You have Moses with his speech. We assume it's a stuttering.
We're not really told, but
that's what a lot of theologians think. And God doesn't heal him. He just brings his brother to help him. Right. And you have all these different people. But my favorite is actually Isaac. And a lot of people, this is actually, my husband has a PhD. He's one who wrote a theological paper. He actually presented at a conference about Isaac being perhaps on the autistic spectrum. When you look at from birth all the way through his life, he has so many of the characteristics of a child on the autistic spectrum, being born to older parents, of being kind of passive. You see Ishmael making fun of him as a child. We don't know what he's laughing at. It could be autistic tendencies. It may not. You see him being so passive that Abraham actually has to get a wife for his son, Isaac, when Isaac is 40 years old. And then you see Isaac mimicking his father. Well, I forgot about Isaac being sacrificed and not really fighting back. And even as an adult, mimicking his father, even when it doesn't make a lot of sense in Egypt, calling his wife his sister and things like that. But even with that disability, the Israelites still say, may you be like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not really because of the fact that Isaac is the son of Abraham and the father of Jacob. It's actually because of Isaac's faith. When his wife couldn't have children, she asked him to pray to God, and he prayed and God answered so that they could have sons. And you see various characters in the Bible come to Jacob and talk about his faith or his relationship with God. And so even being so passive and perhaps autistic, it's his faith that makes him part of the blessing that the Jews have said for thousands of years, and is part of our Christian faith. But there's so many people in the Bible. There's really, I only list, I think, four or five in my blog, and I was thinking, oh, I could keep going. But you know, you can only get so far.
About God's word is there is no perfect person.
No.
And how we ended up with that, except Jesus, how we ended up with that, you have to be perfect to be a Christian. I don't even know where that came from, because yes, we are perfected in Christ, but man, do we mess up every day and in some way or another. And we can't see that there's a lack of faith or other things going on and judge each other because of what we see as an outcropping of blessings, I guess we would say, from God. And so I forgot to mention when we started, a reason for is sponsoring this broadcast. Thank you. We'll hear from them later into the broadcast. But and Julie, thank you for your comment already on just got two little smiley faces. Thanks for joining us and the other viewers that are watching us live right now. Just know that we would love if you have something to add, a question to ask, definitely put that in the feed. We want to make that part of the conversation. But, you know, we tend to have that mentality that God is only glorified if I look perfect. Is that right. True?
Well, it's funny because when I was a child, I would be taught all these heroes of the Bible, and I'm like, I would get so angry because I'm like, none of them are perfect. Not to any of these people. But no, actually, he gets glorified in all that we do, our perfections and our mistakes. And that's one thing that is really hard, even for non-Christians to understand, that our mistakes and our flaws, who we are, the quirkiness and everything, is not a surprise to God. He didn't go, oops, I didn't mean to make that. You know, I didn't mean for you to be dyslexic. I didn't mean for your son to be. No, he did it on purpose. And it's because he is glorified in our weakness. Paul talks about when he talks about the thorn in his flesh, the fact that his weakness reveals that God is strong. And part of that is because we learn that we have to depend on God. We have to turn to him. Every time we make a mistake, we realize, oh, I'm not strong enough to do this by myself.
Yeah.
And when we start thinking that we are strong enough to do this by ourselves, we lose a place for God. We forget that we are created. We are not little gods ourselves. And our weaknesses, our flaws, they're not really also just to squash us down either. They're also part of kind of the journey of discovering what we're made to do, because we're all part of one body. We all have a point and a purpose and a gift. And the gifts don't really look sometimes like a gift. I never really thought of my dyslexia as a gift. Then I actually read a book called The Gift of Dyslexia.
Oh, I love that book. Yes.
It's really wonderful because it's kind of like, oh, I have a superpower. You know, I perceive the world in such a different place. And they don't have a book called The Gift of Autism, but really it needs to be written because children on the autistic spectrum see the world in such a unique way. And often I'll meet another parent of a child on the autistic spectrum, and they'll say, "What's your child's thing?" Like my son is machines. And he's 9 years old and he can fix vacuum cleaners and washing machines. And you're like, you're old of a 9 year old. Mm-hmm. He can't tie shoes and he can't, you know, but you know, he has a gift. And I've met other parents who their child's gift is animals or their child's gift is art or there is a gift sometimes hidden within the disability, within the quirk, within the obsession. And sometimes we think something is a curse and it's not. It's really a blessing. We just haven't learned how to do it. And a lot of times we have to turn to God to find out how to use this as a gift. Because if
that
we try to
do ourselves,
we're really not strong enough. We're just not strong enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, our vision gets so clouded by society. And when society says that should define you as, instead of what that could bring you to, and truly that as a church, we should be better at that.
Right. Right. Because I mean, my husband calls the church a gathering of misfits because that's what we're supposed to be. I mean, we are really odd, quirky people. When you get past the facade, once I've gotten to know pretty much everybody, I've always thought, how odd, because we really are unique. And and when we're trying to keep that perfected front, we lose that uniqueness. We lose all the things that make us the gem that God created at this time, at this moment, for this purpose. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, the ear and the eye and the foot, you know, looking down on each other for their uniqueness. And we all want to be an eye or, you know.
Exactly.
No, we need to be ourselves, what God created us to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it never looks right when you're trying to be somebody else. You know, and or try to copy what made that person, you know, either popular or whatever. It's, you will fill that spot and be fulfilled. And I see that in our kids too, is that if you can spend more time on focusing what they shine in and how God gifted them, that it just opens up a world to them that I have a purpose. I was created for a reason. I'm not a mistake, which unfortunately that's what our world tells them over and over again, but there's so much hope.
Yeah.
There's so much hope when we look at it from the perspective of a God who does not make mistakes.
that's part of the thing, like part of the reason why I wrote these blog posts is, you know, when my son was first diagnosed at 5 years old, he didn't really speak very well. And because he was our only at that point, he called himself the baby. And after he was diagnosed, he kept saying, baby broke, baby broke. And we were like, no, the baby is not broken, you know? And I had to explain to him about my husband is pretty much blind without his glasses and how I have dyslexia. And that we all have our own unique quirks and our unique, but even now, sometimes he looks at himself in the mirror and he's like, what's wrong with me? And I want to say nothing is wrong with you, but life is hard for him. I do know that. But the thing is that there is a purpose, and that's
exactly,
I want to scream that to him like over and over and over again, that there is a purpose for that. You are like this for a reason. Mm-hmm. And it is possible that God may choose to heal one day. I am not against healing, but at the same time, this may be your gift and you don't see it yet. Because the way he sees the world is so unique and so special. He has a wonderful sense of humor. I know people say children on autistic spectrum don't have a sense of humor. He has a fantastic sense of humor.
We just can't classify somebody by disability either.
Right.
And I think that is the other swing of that, is that we can lump everybody into, well, you have a disability. And we were talking about this before the broadcast started of, you know, a disability ministry. Well, we create a room to put them all in. That's not what the church is about.
No.
So I just wanted to say, I'm nodding yes.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that people think of disability as, oh, I need to minister to this poor disabled person. They don't necessarily see that they can be ministered to by that same disabled person. Sometimes their dependence on God. I grew up in a mega church, and there was a young man there who, I don't know if he had cerebral palsy or what it was, but he always wanted to sit in the front row at church because he wanted people to see how God used him. He had a beautiful faith, and he would worship and he would love God. And that stuck with me for the rest of my life because he ministered to me. You know, it wasn't, oh, that poor disabled man. His faith was so strong. And then, you know, there's actually quite a lot of people in ministry right now who have various disabilities. I mentioned that in one of my articles about a pastor in the UK who has cerebral palsy. I've met quite a few pastors with autism. A lot of people know Joni, who was in a wheelchair from being paralyzed. And there's actually a Christian speaker who has no arms and no legs. An amazing speaker. There's so many ways that God can just use a person's disability to show that nothing is impossible with him. Absolutely nothing.
And you even went into, and after reading through your blogs, you went into just instances in the New Testament and the Old Testament where that was true too. It's not like God just started something new. This has been in the plan from the beginning of time.
Yes,
that God works through our weaknesses, and some of them are just more evident and noticeable. But it doesn't mean that we divide and say, well, you can fit in this category because you have this disability. No, we all suffer from a disability called sin.
Yes, that's exactly right. And we all really need to depend on God. There was an article I had read. I don't know if it was Focus on the Family or... there's a lot of articles I've read. Anyways, he talks about that people in the church are uncomfortable with disability because it actually reveals our vulnerability. We end up seeing just how human we are and just how frail we are as humans And we don't really like that. We want to be little gods ourselves, even as Christians. We keep saying, well, God, I don't really need you in this area. I can do that myself. Mm-hmm. And when you're disabled, there's just some things that you can't do. Like my son, right now, he's going to get cochlear implants. But right now, there's just a lot of things he can't hear and he just can't do. And, you know, it doesn't really stop him. But sometimes it does make people uncomfortable to realize, you know, at any point, that could be me, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are elderly adults who lose their hearing. There are people in accidents who, and to realize that it's really God who sustains us. Mm-hmm.
And we're so fragile. We don't are. Want to think about that tomorrow. That could be me. And because today I've got it all together and I am, you know, it's all based on our circumstance, and we forget that our circumstances can change so fast. And you're right. When we are faced with a disability, either seeing somebody's else or our own, we have to reconcile that with our theology and how we believe God functions. And it isn't a curse.
No.
No. It's a wake-up call that I'm not God, truly.
Yeah. And it, I mean, it's not easy. I mean, sometimes when people hear me say something like that, they're like, well, that's really weird. Because I'm like, saying, you know, autism is easy or deafness is easy. No, it's not easy. It's the fact that it's hard, that it produces so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, an athlete really pushes themselves to do very, very difficult things, sometimes absurd things. I've heard people wear book bags full of rocks and all these kind of things to get stronger. And sometimes I see disability as being that book bag of rocks, because our life is actually quite short. I see our life as being a training ground for eternity. And I also see eternity as being something in which we're going to have things to do. You know, when the Bible talks about us ruling and reigning with Christ, that's not a passive job. Anytime you've been in any kind of authority situation over people, it's hard work. If we're ruling and reigning with God, then he's actually requiring us to work. And, you know, having that book bag full of rocks to train us here in this life for something even greater in the next life, and even ministry in this life, it makes perfect sense of a lot of verses.
It does. And it's, I think the mentality of our society and just our modernized world is that if it's hard, maybe I'll put it off till tomorrow.
Right.
And because I've been going through some pain and I've realized I've had to push myself to do my regular workouts, and through the pain, do that, and how much more difficult that has been, but yet it's what's helped my healing as well. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it is hard. And it made me sympathize more with people who deal with chronic pain. Right. And just what it is to push yourself to do a little bit of exercise, or to, you know, to walk when I'd rather sit because that feels more comfortable. And it's an example that people with disabilities live out in front of us. And we should look at that as something to encourage us, that if they're pushing through, you know, I watch so many of my siblings that have just pushed through so many hard things, and to just know that if they can push through that, why am I complaining about, you know, this little thing that's going on in my life? I'm a wimp.
Perspective, you know, I mean, when you've gone through like a life or death struggle with a child with a disability, and then somebody else complains about, you know, a toddler not being able to put on their shoes, it's kind of like, right. Well, they'll live through it.
So true. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor, and then I'm going to bring Laura back, and we are going to continue this conversation. So definitely hold on to your questions, and we'll hear from our sponsor right now. So let me switch around some things here. All right. I will see if I can. Nope, that's the wrong way. All right. We are so excited that A Reason For is sponsoring our broadcast not only tonight, but for all of this month and next month. And I want to tell you about A Reason For Spelling, specifically tonight. A Reason For Spelling is built around the latest research on how kids spell. And this isn't a dull rote memorization of the past years past spelling programs. Parents tell us the child actually enjoys spelling more than ever because it seems like play instead of school. While it's true that the lessons are fun and stimulating, don't be fooled. There is serious science at work. So if you want to find placement tests, they have them, and that assures that your child is starting at the right level. And they also have multi-sensory activities, which I know our special needs parents absolutely love, visual and tactile learners. And you'll also find special teaching insights and discussions and prompts and much more in the teacher's guide. And I'm going to bring up their website here for sample lessons, placement tests, and additional info. You can visit them at areason4.com. And thank you, Reason For, for sponsoring this broadcast, as well as all the other ones through this this month and next. We are excited to have you as one of our SPED Homeschool partners, and you can find out more about them on areason4.com and also on the SPED Homeschool website. So we are going to bring our guest, Laura Lee, back and continue our discussion about Disabilities, the church, and let's see if I can get my screen back there. So, yeah. So as we dive into the second half an hour on this discussion, let's dig a little bit into how is God's power perfected because of a disability?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because it is really, I know that it is unique to each individual. So I think I'm going to use my dyslexia as an example. I know that as a child, I would pray quite a lot that God would heal me of the dyslexia because I pretty much failed every spelling test I ever took. it continued on through college. But I did learn how to cope. Which was nice, but he never healed me. And I ended up having to learn kind of to trust him, to be like, well, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you anyways. And there's so many other things in life where it was kind of like, I had to trust until I could see it later on. Yeah. And I never really saw myself being discounted from being a writer because of my dyslexia. And when God would continually bring to mind, oh, you should write this, you should write this, you should write this. And then I get people look at my writing and they say, oh, there's all these errors. I can't understand it. it kind of seemed to disqualify me, but then I would get the random person who was just like, oh, that ministered to me so much. Hmm. It encouraged me to push through. And everything that I write, I have to pray. Because I know that there's going to be tons of errors that are going to slip through. You know, I use spell check, I use Grammarly, I use editors, but I'm so dependent on God to make it readable, for it to communicate what I have all this stuff up here, and I need God's help. And all of a sudden, it's like even my fantasy, my young adult fantasy fiction is not necessarily like Christian, where it's like, you know, there's God, you know, and sin. It is Christian in point of view. It is Christian in worldview. It's Christian in the messages and the lessons that the characters learn. And I feel like it's a ministry. Everything I write is a ministry because I depend on God to do it. And I know that when I take that into how I raise my children, I take that into, you know, both my sons' struggles. I hear people continually tell me about, well, how do you stay happy? How do you stay so full of faith? Or what? It's because I've already learned that I had to depend on God with my own disability.
Right.
And his power is continually made perfect, because I'm continually asking him, why this now?
Exactly.
It's another struggle. It's another roadblock. But mm-hmm. he's prepared me with the last one. You know, the last one prepares you for the future one, and the future one, and the future one. And as mm-hmm. it gets harder, I actually do believe things do get harder. I know a lot of Christians who are like, oh, it'll eventually get easier. I don't think so. If you're an athlete, you actually keep pushing yourself. You keep challenging yourself.
Right.
So as yeah. things do get harder, and sometimes we seek out those, our faith has to go even more stronger, throwing ourselves on God, you know? And what I mean, like seeking out things that are harder, I could just raise my two children and deal with their disability and just, you know, whatever. But my putting stuff out here and talking, it's like I'm almost inviting people to challenge my faith. But it's like, I can't help it. You know, as we walk in our faith with God, I feel like he pushes us to more challenges.
Mm-hmm. And also to interact with other people, to challenge right. them. And, you know, and as I'm hearing you talking, I'm thinking, but you become more vulnerable in front of other people. And it was probably something that you were not as comfortable with when you first started out, but yeah. sharing your weaknesses shows God stronger too. And it encourages the entire community, not just your faith and your children's faith, but people right. that maybe don't even have that struggle, or they have a struggle that they really don't want to talk about. And you're talking about it goes, oh, maybe I do have something that I need to deal with and to let other people know.
It's really one of the things that just breaks my heart is how many people, especially with children with disabilities, try to live out their faith in isolation. Because they're embarrassed of the disabilities, or they're scared that their children are going to get hurt. Because sometimes they do. I mean, people may mean well and say hard things, or sometimes they don't mean well. There's some just people who need to chill. I really want to encourage people to actually seek out those hard situations, like to put yourself out there, because it is part of our Christian walk to depend on God to give us the answers in those times, and to bring grace into those situations, and to actually help us be the ministers and the teachers to these people who, you know, say wrong things, or teach our children how to respond to these hard things, or there's just a lot of ways that our faith it needs to just be out constantly extending beyond us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and if you don't put ourselves out there, we're never going to have the opportunities for those things that do work out.
Right.
You know, I've heard. And the same thing was with our family. We tried different relationships, you know, and just wouldn't go. But then all of a sudden we found two families and it clicked. Right. And it was like, this is amazing. This is exactly what we needed, you know. And but if we would have stopped trying, then we would have never got those connections. And it really is worth it. I mean, I see my 20-year-old son, his best friend is that friend from when we made this friendship, 15 years ago. So it's worth just keeping trying and going
yeah.
through those things.
And even like finding a church home, it's good to keep trying with that too. I mean, sometimes you can keep trying in the same church and you can find families who have grace and who are understanding. Sometimes you have to go to one church to another until you find a pastor who really understands, depending on the disability. But when you find the right church home, it makes a world of difference to have that support network, to have that extended family, because the church is an extended family. And it, and sometimes we don't have families who understand our children's needs, or they're just not there. They're thousands of miles away, hundreds of miles away, whatever, maybe even like a different city. But for me, all of our family is hundreds of miles away. So it's good to have that extended family and the blessing that comes from that for our children and for ourselves. It just can't be measured, can't be replaced by anything else. It can't be replaced by a TV, you know, church service.
Right.
Every person in this church who says hi to my children, I'm just, there's no replacing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were made to be in relationship. We're made to be in a relationship with God and also with others. Whether your child's on the autism spectrum and doesn't like to be around people, they still crave relationships. I know. Okay. I have a 22-year-old that struggles with that very thing. And he's got a very, he's got an eclectic group of very close friends that, you know, he, that understand him. And that's what he needs. But we do, we, whether you're an introvert, an extrovert, you need people. Mm-hmm. That's how you were made. That's how we were all made. And we can't isolate anybody just because of what we consider their abilities or disabilities. Even if they're nonverbal, they still need to be people. And it may be uncomfortable for the church to have a child or even an adult that can't talk, and or who they can't communicate with, but yet try to still relate to. So I know we were also going to talk about healing and not healing. And how does the church reconcile whether God heals somebody or doesn't heal somebody? Because there are some faiths that say, if you aren't healed, you don't have enough faith. Is that biblical?
Yeah, this particular topic is very close to my heart. I actually grew up in a Pentecostal church, and it's to my husband. And I've heard ministers say God heals everyone, and if he hasn't heard, you didn't have enough faith. Or if you're not healed, you didn't have enough faith. Well, no, that's not true. Because Paul, he prayed for tons of people; they were healed. He prays for himself, and God says no.
Yeah.
It's not really our faith that does the healing so much. I mean, there is a faith relationship with God, but it's not like, you know, I make the healing happen.
Right. It's not a then relationship.
Right. It's not me that makes the healing work. It's actually God. And my faith is trusting God to do what he can do and wants to do. What he wants to do, because God can do anything. And when he chooses not to heal, it's not a lack of faith. And I grew up with that, and even had people say that about my oldest son. You know, they were like, oh, you had so much faith that he survived being born premature. And then he had autism, and it's like, well, did I have a lot of faith when he was saved from dying at birth? Or this doesn't make sense.
So, like, yeah,
I think change
hit a dead end really, really quick with that theology.
Right. So God healed one thing, he didn't heal another. It really is shown in the Bible that God uses disability. One of the examples we have is Ehud, who's a left-handed soldier. And a lot of theologians believe that left-handedness was seen as a disability in the Bible. Or at least it was seen as being a dysfunction of some kind. Ehud had to actually make his own sword because there was no left-handed swords for him anyways. So, but it was because of his left-handedness that he was able to get into the palace because they checked the wrong side for his sword and deliver Israel. It is remarkable how God uses the weakness, the actual area of the weakness, to do his ministry. And so when God heals, you know, we see all these miracles of Jesus healing people. he's glorified. You know, Jesus was able to show that his divine nature.
Right.
When he doesn't heal, he's glorified. God is shown strong in our weakness. And this is really hard for people to get, you know, wrap their head around. But the fact is God is glorified in us when we depend on him, healed or not healed. And it doesn't mean that God will never heal if he says no right now. He might heal later on. We see the man born blind.
Blind. I wanted you to share that.
Yeah. The man who was born blind, he was healed by Jesus. And all of his neighbors saw it. They all knew. The Pharisees questioned him. And he gave such a profound theological answer. And it's like, well, he could have all of a sudden developed that faith at the moment of healing. That doesn't make any sense. He had this faith. He was who he was before he was healed. And it's interesting because let me see if I can find the verse for that. Anyway, it is interesting because the disciples ask, was it he that sinned or his parents that he was born blind? And it's interesting because God said neither. It was so that he could show the glory of God. I've heard pastors preach, show the glory of God when he is being healed. But if you look at it, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
I think it means his whole life to show the glory of God in his disability and in his healing, that both show the glory of God. And his faith at healing was a faith that he had while he was disabled. You know, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God didn't just come, you know, all these theological things that he had just didn't come in that moment.
I think of the woman who was bleeding too, you know, the faith that she had, you know, and just the perseverance she had and, you know, all those things. And then when she, you know, she was healed, just what it was like to be redeemed and to move on from that. And, but yet Paul, like you said, you know, reading his, you know, when he's in prison at the end of his life and just when he writes to, I would just be in tears sometimes reading the end of his letters because he's like, bring my coat, I'm cold, you know, and, just the humanity, because you knew he also dealt with some sort of crippling pain and having been stoned to death and still lived through it. I'm sure he dealt with a lot of pain. And yet the reality of him pushing through that and saying, I beat myself into submission, even though, and that's the example that people that persevere through disabilities and yet have faith and say, God doesn't hate me.
Right.
I was a mistake. This is something that will bring out more of God in me if I believe through this.
I think it's important, like, to keep as parents to also keep that in mind with our children, because it changes the way we parent when we realize God created this disability on purpose in my child's life, that this is actually part of their calling. Because if we're trying to hide that disability, we're trying to cope, we're trying to push it away. Sometimes we accidentally push away part of who our children are, or make them feel self-conscious about that part of their life instead of being like, well, this is who I am. And God loves it too. And learning to accept ourselves and our disabilities brings such a freedom. And this I say with my experience with dyslexia, it brings a freedom to be able to be like, yes, I have lots of spelling errors and all that kind of stuff. Okay, that's fine. That's part of who I am. And God did it on purpose and I'm fine with that. And I don't take criticism. I don't take all those things that kind of come by to heart, because it's like I have the love of God to shield me. because I feel loved by God. I feel accepted. I don't really need necessarily the acceptance of the whole world. It's good to have family and friends that you encourage you because we're human. But the love of God and acceptance of God is a shield in accepting ourselves.
Right. Yeah. It's you are uniquely, you are, you know, God even says that I created you. You know, you're wonderfully made. This is, there's no error in this. And we should own it and thank him for it. And that's hard when we look at what society says is a perfect life, is the perfect way to look, is the perfect, you know, this and this and this. And we just can't achieve it. And I think the sooner we come to that reality, and that's why I always told my kids, it's a gift to know you're weird. You're not spending all of your life trying to be normal.
Right.
Because it's not workable. And so, yeah, why not start young and say, I'm just different.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes it is hard to keep, to remember this, because it is, I mean, it is a struggle when your child's having a meltdown in the middle of church service nearly every Sunday, or, you know, you're struggling to actually get, your ADHD child to just focus, to get in the car, to get to church. You know, sometimes it's hard to remember, you know, that this is part of the way God made them. But it does make life easier to know it all will work out. It will all work out in the end.
Right. And speaking of the end, we have a comment from one of our guests, and I want your take on this. But she said, I believe we are all physically healed, if not during our life, then at death. In heaven, there's no pain, no disease, no injury, no depression, etc.
And that's true. That's true. Going kind of back to the idea of healing. Healing can also be an emotional and spiritual thing rather than a physical thing here in this life with our disabilities. But yeah, in heaven, we are going to be made perfect. But I've actually heard people with autism saying, I don't know if I would choose to lose the autism because that's actually become who I am.
I was wondering if you were going to say that because I've heard it both ways.
Yeah.
And it's the uniqueness, but I think through the lens of sin that we see disabilities through, we don't see the beauty of them the way God does. And will they disappear? I don't know. It says, yes, there'll be no pain and no tears,
right.
But it doesn't talk about physical healing.
My husband actually did a sermon talking about Jesus' scars, his nail-scarred hands. When he is resurrected from the dead, he shows the disciples the scars on his hands. And my husband wrote his paper pretty much was saying that he believes that maybe we keep our scars too because it is part of forming who we are. The struggle that we had in this life is equipping us for our purpose in heaven as well. And some of those scars are so essentially a part of our spiritual walk. I don't think we're going to have pain. I don't think, we're going to struggle. You know, some of the sensory issues that my son deals with is so overwhelming. I don't think he's going to be overwhelmed. You know, there are different things that I do believe that there is going to be a perfection, but it may not look the way we think it will look.
Right.
When you think about
it's like when Jesus was questioned, about the different brothers marrying the same wife, and whose husband will she be at the end? He's like, none. That's you're thinking in the wrong terms.
Right. So
yeah, so true. So as we're wrapping up, what as a church member, as somebody that's a parent of a child with a disability, what can we do to help, I guess, start a discussion, start some change where we're at, to really put this in the right context, you know, and not be, you know, just everybody's wrong, but, but, you know, in love, how do we change the perspectives of those around us?
Well, there needs, on both sides, both those without disabilities in the church, especially leadership, well, everybody, and people with disabilities, there has to be a lot of grace going into the discussion. We have to approach each other with kindness, with the grace and love of God, and see beyond ourselves. You know, I know that there are people who get really disturbed by things they don't understand. And as a person with a disability, we have to take a role of a teacher. Mm-hmm. With the people in the church who don't have a disability and they see these odd things, they need to start to take the role of a listener and mm-hmm. actually listen. I know a lot of people ask, well, do we need a disability ministry? No, because the thing is we're all different. We all are unique. We're all quirky and unusual, and we don't really need a special ministry for disability. There are accommodations that would be helpful, you know, for a deaf person. It's really great to have words on the screen, you know, mm-hmm. when you're doing praise and worship or pastor's notes or whatever. It makes things a lot easier. If they can't get some kind of sign language interpreter, or if they don't have any kind of hearing advice, that is at least, you know, and the thing is if a deaf person comes to your church, that may be all they need. You know, we don't need to really assume that they need more unless they ask for more.
Mm-hmm. is something that's very hard for people with disabilities sometimes too. I mean, but I think when we don't ask, we then assume mm-hmm. that this should just be, and then that's, if there's no communication,
right,
we're not going to change. And I think, you know, that's, you know, I hear you saying that on both sides. We need to listen and we need to talk.
Right.
And it needs to kind of be the opposite of what we're doing right now, because it's often the church leaders that are talking and the people with disabilities listening. But let's flip that.
Yeah, I mean, the conversation with disabilities a lot of times kind of bypasses those with the disabilities. And it's like a lot of the church leadership will say, oh, well, we need a ramp for this and we need to do this for that. And if they're wanting to accommodate disabilities, they sometimes get overexcited. You get churches who ignore the issue and they don't want to adjust. And then you get the church people who kind of get overexcited. Really, just look at the people you have in your church, and make it available for people coming into your church to call you and ask, and just deal with those needs. Make it available. Make, you know, just advertise the fact that you are listening,
right,
and then deal with those needs. People get kind of overwhelmed that they need to have all these things. And you'll see websites that say, well, you need to have this and this and this and this. Don't get overwhelmed.
Right.
Deal with the people in your church who are attending, and deal with each person one at a time, because one person with autism is not going to have the same needs as another person with autism.
Exactly.
One deaf person is actually not going to have the same needs as another person with deafness. It was interesting kind of going into that world with my youngest son. Yeah, I understood that with autism, but I didn't really expect that with deafness, that you know, sometimes people have so many different levels of hearing, or the hearing's in such a different, you know, like they can hear fine when it's like one-on-one like this, but in the auditorium where it echoes, they can't, or, you know, there's all sorts of different needs that it's really good just to take, you know, deal with person one at a time, and just really open the channels for communication. I think that's the best thing any church can do.
Yeah, definitely. It's, and as parents, of children with disabilities, being able to communicate what your child's needs are to the people that are working with them, and then what works at home. You know, we need to have those conversations and be real about it, right, but also be real that I need help.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to help you, but at some point I don't want to be called out every time my child needs help, because I need to be fed too. And yeah, so if I can train somebody, if somebody's willing to do that, you know, it's a lot of back and forth. And it's not just, I'm going to dump my child off because you have a special needs ministry and you need to figure them out.
Right.
No, that's not where I stop.
Right.
It's a relationship. And as we learn and grow together. And
that's right. Important. I think when you're talking about, you know, us as parents saying, you know, I need help, that is an important thing too, because a lot of times we take the role of super parent when we try to go to church. We don't really want to see ourselves. You don't want people to see the frazzled parent who feels like everything's running, you know, out of control. And, you know, sometimes, you know, there's so many days where it's just like, I don't really know what to do. And you can't just assume that everybody in the church actually don't know. It's a surprising amount of people who do know about autism or disabilities or deafness or blindness, or, you know, you wouldn't tell just by looking at them, but just put that call for help out there, and they sometimes show up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. At our church, we have a couple that both work in special needs classrooms. And they don't have any kids of their own, so they volunteer in the church ministry and help out with that. It's amazing, you know, just that God provides when there's a need for anything in the church. That is his body. And when everybody says, these are my gifts, these are my needs, and we start communicating with each other, that's when we see the beauty of the church come together.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Laura. This was an awesome discussion. I'm going to put up your website here. And so Laura is not only a blogger, but she's also an author and an illustrator and a special needs mom. And so she's got lots to offer, but your blog has kind of just, yeah, go to laura'swandering.wordpress.com and you'll find all of that there. So I'm just reading it out for the people who are listening on the podcast, but thank you so much for your time, for all your research, and just
thank you for having me. This was so much fun, and I'm so glad to be able to hopefully encourage people.
Definitely. I think it definitely was. We got a lot of reactions, and some comments. And so it definitely was, I can see by that it made an impact. And I'm sure over this week, as this video is just here, but then it's going to go to our YouTube channel and podcast and encourage more. So thank you so much. And thank you all of you for watching, for participating in our broadcast. This broadcast is put on by Sped Homeschool. We are a nonprofit, and we appreciate people like you who contribute to Sped Homeschool, and we that helps fund our website, our broadcasts, but we also thank A Reason for sponsoring this broadcast. And like I had said earlier, you can find their lesson plans, placement tests, and additional info at areason4.com. And we're going to keep the conversation going, though. If you want to join our support group, that is on Facebook, and you can just join that group. If you are a parent of a special needs child, that we do limit that to only parents that are homeschooling children with special needs, because we want that to be a safe place for parents to be able to share and not be spammed. We actually don't allow any resource sharing unless somebody asks about it. If you want to share resources, though, go to our resource sharing group, because you can put anything you want in there that's related to special needs and homeschool. That's why we have two different groups. But anyways, next week, we are going to meet at a different time. We are going to have our show at 11 o'clock in the morning, or I guess early afternoon. But we have a special guest. I've had him once before. His video didn't work last time, but Steve Demme is coming. And we are going to talk about faith, family, and special needs. And so kind of a continuation of this discussion that we were having tonight. But Steve is also the new board elect chair for SPED Homeschool. He is going to be the board chairman for SPED Homeschool starting in 2020. And so we're excited about that. That happened in our board meeting last week. But Steve is also has a blog coming out on our website next week as well. Actually, I think it's coming out tomorrow. So read that. Join us tomorrow or next week on the broadcast. And we'll see you here. Otherwise, we'll see you in our Facebook group. Thanks, everybody. Thanks again, Laura. This was amazing. And have a good night, everybody. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.